Verses again. There were 9 temples of Lord Vishnu at Nayanatipati on the banks of the river Tamraparni. And after bathing in the river, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deities with great curiosity and wandered on. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the holy place known as Chiyaradatala.
Chiyaradatala. Where he saw the deities of the two brothers, Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman. He then proceeded to Tivakanchi, where he saw the temple of Lord Shiva. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then visited the holy place named Ujjanga Mokshana, where he went to a temple of Lord Vishnu. He then came to Panagati, a holy place, where he saw the deities of Lord Ramachandra and Sita. So fortunately, with the internet, I was able to go to these holy places and capture the images there, and I put them together in a slideshow, so as I speak, we'll show the slideshow, and we can all follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and kind of try to enter into that mood with the architecture, the atmosphere of the town. This place called Tirunelveli is interesting. It's in South India. We're far south of Chennai. Most people think South India, Chennai and Madras, in South India, but when I looked on the map and actually followed how far down Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's almost to Kanyakumari, he's almost to the most southern tip of India. And this place, again, can you put that on at your convenience? Is mentioned, the whole of South India, in the Sri Chaitanya in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a nice verse which explains why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu might have wanted to visit these places. Kritadishu prajarajan kalavi chandra sambhavan kalo kalo babushanti nirayana parayani kvachit kvachin maharaja javideshu chaburisa tamapani nadiyatra kritamala payasmini kavari cha mahapunya pratichi cha mahanadi Yeti Banti Kalam Chasam Manuja Manujeswara Praya Bhakta Bhagavati Vasudevi Malayasa. My dear King, the inhabitants of Satya Yuga and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this age of Kali, since in this age there will be many devotees of the Supreme Lord, Narayan. These devotees will appear in various places, but will be especially numerous in South India. O Master of Men, in the age of Kali, those persons who drink the waters of the holy rivers of Dravida Desh, such as the Tamraparni, Kritamala, Payashvini, the extremely pious Kaveri, and the Patichi Mahanadi, will almost all be pure-hearted devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Show of hands, who's been to South India? Okay. So for a lot of people here, you see how the people are pious by nature, by culture. We were on Padyatra for several months, walking from Dwarka all the way to South India, following this route. In 1984, devotees wanted to organize a program for Lord Chaitanya's 500th anniversary, which was 1986. So we started in 1984 in Dwarka, and walked backwards. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, started in Mayapur, went to Puri, and then traveled south and then back up north, all around to these holy places throughout India. And we started the word at the other end, in Dwarka, and followed it backwards. So, while walking, one of the things I had lived in Vrindavan for several years prior to that, one of the things that caught my attention and really became prominent as we continued on this week-to-week, month-to-month event, was that in South India, it's very Vishnu-oriented, like we're reading here. It's Lord Ramachandra
Gajendra Mokshana, different temples of Lord Vishnu, practically in Mangalore, where Madhvacharya, Udupi, there's a Krishna temple there, but most of them are all Vishnu, and you really do notice the difference. Another time with Banu Swami, we drove from Vrindavan to Bangalore, to Chennai, to Mayapur, and then back to Vrindavan. And when we were coming back to Vrindavan after a few months of driving, all of a sudden it was so sweet to see the road signs of Arsana, Govardhan Hill, Vrindavan, Mathura. I was like coming home. It was beautiful. So, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling, this temple of Gajendra Mokshana caught my attention. There's a lot of temples of Lord Ramachandra, and everybody pretty much knows there's a lot of those leaders. But Gajendra and the liberation and help that Lord Vishnu gave him is not well known, although everybody knows the basic story. So I looked up Gajendra Mokshana Temple and didn't find any. Nepal was the closest one, and we're far from Nepal. So I was reading the Gajendra Mokshana Lila in Srimad Bhagavatam for a few days, and then decided to do my search a little bit different. I just put Gajendra, and then worked with Tirunavali, the town, and now I found it. It's Gajendra Vyada is the name of the temple. So there's some images of that here also. But I wanted to kind of enter, when you go on pilgrimage, everybody's experience has done this, that you go to a place and try to become absorbed in the world that it took place there. Like many devotees now have just returned from Braj Mandal Parikrama. So for the whole month of Kartik, devotees go out and they go to one place, one forest, where Krishna performs some vira, Krishna and Balaram and the gopis, and become totally absorbed in that. The first time I did this in 1981, I went with 8,000 people from the Sri Vallabha Sampradaya. And every night, they did a play in the place where the vira took place. So the whole day you're walking and you're thinking about the one that happened or the one that's about to come, and you become totally absorbed in that vira. So I'm hoping that we can follow Lord Chaitanya to this Gajendra Mokshana temple and see the lessons that can be imbibed and learned by entering this lila. It starts, interestingly enough, I kind of thought I knew the story until I read it. It starts in a chapter called The Manus, Administrators of the Universe. When the sages of Vamasharanya gathered and inquired from Suta Goswami, one of their six questions in the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam was, please narrate the pastimes of the Lord in relationship to the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world. They also asked about his other avatars who are transcendental. So, in the third and fourth chapter, cantos, Sutta Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami, is explaining about creation, Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, but now, as he's going further into the description of the universe and how it's maintained, he's describing Nirvantara avatars. So we start there. Also in this Nirvantara avatar, Nirvantara, the Supreme Lord Vishnu took birth from the womb of Harini, the wife of Harimeda, and he was known as, see if you can guess, the wife is called Harimeda, she's Harini, and he's Harimeda. Hari. Very good. Well, therefore his name is Hari. Hari saved his devotee Gajendra, the king of elephants, from the mouth of a crocodile. King Purikit said, my dear Lord Badarani, we wish to hear from you in detail about how the king of elephants, when attacked by a crocodile, was delivered by Hari. Oh, there's the temple entrance. Sutta Goswami said, O Brahmins, when Purikit Maharaj, who was awaiting impending death, thus requested Sukadev Goswami to speak, Sukadev, encouraged by the king's words, offered respects to the king and spoke with great pleasure in the assembly of sages who desired to hear him. Now, another thing that happens in
when you go on pilgrimages, you spend the day, we have about 20 minutes. So everything has to become very condensed, and I'm not going to be able to read it, obviously. So I'll read the chapter summaries. And then when I get to an important part, or a part we want to focus on, I'll veer off into that. So, in the midst of the Milk Ocean, there's a very high and beautiful mountain. It has an altitude of 10,000 yojanas, or 80,000 miles. This mountain is known as Chukuta. In the valley of Chukuta, there's a nice garden named Rupamat, which was constructed by Varuna. And in that area is a very nice lake. Once the chief of elephants, along with his female elephants, went to enjoy bathing in that lake. And they were disturbed by the inhabitants of, and they disturbed the inhabitants of the water. Because of this, the chief crocodile in that water, who was very powerful, immediately attacked the elephant's leg. Then there ensued a great fight between the elephant and the crocodile. This fight continued for 1,000 years. So, as I was reading the actual texts, I'm thinking, why are they describing a place in the ocean of milk, and a mountain, and a valley, and a king of elephants is going there, but we're in South India, and we have this Gajendra Mokshana temple? And I was quite confused until I got to the end of the story, which will be revealed as time goes on. Now, another nice lesson, I won't be able to elaborate too much, is that this the descriptions of Gajendra, he was such a powerful elephant. He was so huge and powerful that just the scent of this elephant sent lions and rhinoceroses running the other way. Nobody wanted to come near him. He was heavy-duty, big-time, macho elephant. And so he's coming down, and he's got this beautiful, can you imagine? Oh, 80,000-mile-high, nice mountain, beautiful lake created by Varuna. And he's going down with all his female elephants. And one of the lessons here is that no matter how powerful you are, no matter how nice things appear, no. Time and the material, I don't know if you just saw that, but that was a good crocodile grabbing an elephant. And he's just sitting there, all of a sudden, boom. So this is what happened to Gajendra. Neither the elephant nor the crocodile died, but since they were in the water, the elephant gradually became weak, whereas the power of the crocodile increased more and more. Thus the crocodile became more and more encouraged. So, there's a nice purport by Srila Prabhupada in this regard. The texts themselves. Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, became an animal, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of Providence, and being embodied and circumstantially helpless, could not save himself from danger, he was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision. The elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of Providence that I have become attacked by this crocodile. And therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even great personalities. One of the points that will bring out, that Srila Prabhupada had a clip at the end that he talks about, is Gajendra didn't have any real qualities. He was an elephant. He was an animal. And he's in a forlorn condition. He's not in a powerful position anymore. He's not able to do anything. He's suffering. He's weak. He has no qualities. He's an elephant in the water being eaten and bit and beat. He's down. He's out. He's man. tongue, and he's feeble. And yet, in that condition, he attracted Krishna. It's not that the power and the beauty and the glory and the satisfaction in this material world attracts Krishna. There's nothing in this world that can attract Krishna. But that position did so. Another thing that Srila Prabhupada points out, couldn't find the third part, is that being in a position where he's weakened is actually not good for Gajendra. And Prabhupada and his purports relate this to an event that happened in ISKCON at the time. There was a sannyasi who was well known, big sannyasi, had a position in the society, and fell down back to family life. And many people were confused, many people were down on him and critical. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport is pointing out that different people have different natures. That's why there's the Vanashram system. There's Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. There's Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. There's all different kinds of people. And each person, just like Gajendra, has one nature. And he's in a weakened position by not being in his position of strength. Similarly, the crocodile is in his position, and he is in a position of strength. So it behooves everyone to try and put themselves in a position of life, means vocation, family, not family, temple atmosphere, duties, so many different things, where we're encouraged and inspired. And another thing in the society that's important is that we encourage and inspire and are compassionate and broad-minded enough to do so to others, rather than picking at them and nitpicking and fault-finding and bickering and finding fault with this one or that one and actually trying to bring people down. It's only out of envy that we would do such a thing. So it's a nice lesson that's also inherent in the story, how the crocodile is being encouraged but the elephant is being weakened, and how even in his weakened position, because he takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord accepts his prayers. So, we don't have time to go through his prayers. Another point. Text 1 of Gajendra's prayers. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind and his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indradumna and which was remembered by the grace of Krishna." Purport. Such remembrance is desired in the Bhagavad, is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 643 and 644. In these verses it is assured that even if a person is engaged in devotional service falls down, he is not degraded, but is placed in a position in which, in due course of time, he will remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As will be explained later, Gajendra was formerly King Indradumna, and somehow or other in his next life he became the King of Elephants. Now Gajendra was in danger, and although he was in a body other than that of a human being, he remembered the stotra he had chanted in his previous life. To enable one to achieve perfection, Krishna gives one the chance to remember him again. So you may remember in Bhagavad Gita, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna asks, what happens to the person who doesn't attain perfection? And Krishna explains to him that when he takes birth again,
by nature will become attracted to this philosophy, to yogic principles, to transcendence, to the seeking of the truth. And we can see practically, Prabhupada gives the example, the first canto is a nice example, just like dry wood. Those who are preachers, you've seen dry wood, you've seen wet wood results. If you try to put fire with wet wood, it doesn't really, it just smokes. Sometimes you can't even start it. But if fire comes in contact with dry wood, a person who has performed past pious activities, past devotional activities, and then flying away for 1 reason or another, comes back, then you meet that person. Boom! Immediately, they take, oh yes, give me the book, here's some money, take it home. Sometimes they don't even go home. We used to, ride it down to our bus, one of our, well, there's a lot of hippies and people traveling around and looking for the dry wood, we would say, you could see that someone was interested in books, so why don't you come to the bus and spend a week? We're traveling around, playing music, Indian music, chanting mantras. Oh, sure, okay. That's what happened to me. I was hitchhiking around. I was a college age, and I was at the University of Berkeley. And because I was college age, I could go to the dorms and kind of stay in the hallway in the place. And usually there's rooms, and at the end of the hallway there's like a little TV lounge area. So I would go there, and everybody thought I was a student. So I went to the student union, which was the bathroom. And this person next to me was putting war paint on his head, on his nose, and his forehead. And I said, what are you doing, putting on war paint? What is this, some kind of a program in the theater? And he said, no, I'm a traveling musician. We chant Indian mantras and music, and we have a vegetarian feast out at the bus. Why don't you come out and join us? I said, for me, and it was exotic. So I said, okay, I'll check it out. And you open the door to this Greyhound bus that had been gutted out with floors like this and an altar, and the smells, and there was two rows of monks with orange robes, shaved heads, and a tilak or war paint, and funny ponytails. But it was the 60s and 70s, so it was kind of far out, and that's how I joined Krishna consciousness. Level up that day, that was it. So, sometimes those principles that just awakens in a person. There's so many examples. Hayagriva, Mukunda, you've heard of the stories, how they met Srila Prabhupada, 26th Second Avenue. Well, he wasn't even at 26th Second Avenue. He was just bouncing from apartment to apartment at the time after he had the problems. And the devotees there all joined together and created a whole society. Basically speaking, all over the whole planet. We see that this is happening now. The people, Lord Chaitanya's devotees are taking Mongolia. That used to be like a Timbuktu. People would even say, oh, well, we're in Timbuktu. But now there's devotees in Timbuktu. If you saw him, you're doing the Maharaj just recently went there. So all over the whole planet. And what's happening is that all these people are slowly coming to Krishna consciousness due to past activities. And according to our attention and practice, we will make further advancement. Most of Gajendra's prayers are explaining that Krishna is transcendental. He's the supreme person. He's the creator of the entire universe. But because he is in his forlorn condition, the prayers towards the end of the chapter go now towards help and please save me. So, since we all just did it for a whole month, let's sing together, I think it's the sixth mantra. Dhamma Deva Dhamma Dhamma Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabhupada Jagadhyamadhi Kripa Dushti Vistadi Kulnanda Pamu Vihadesha Mamajna Udvaksudasya. O Master, O Limited Vishnu, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I'm drowning in an ocean of sorrow and I'm almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy on me. Uplift me and protect me with your nectarian vision. So this prayer is the same that Gajendra prayed. It's the same mood.
But he is focusing now on Vishnu, and of course our bhakti, our sampradaya, our cultivation is more towards that little coward. He's not even a coward boy yet. He's just a little baby boy with locks of curling hair, with red cheeks like bimbo fruit. So it's a little bit different, but it's very similar. And then finally, chapter 4 kind of brings it to an end. The fourth chapter describes the previous birth of Gajendra and the crocodile. It tells how the crocodile became a Gandharva and how Gajendra became an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was a king of the Gandharva planet who was named Huhu. Once this king, Huhu, was enjoying with women in the water, and while enjoying, he pulled the leg of Durvala Rishi, who was also taking bath in that water. Upon this, the sage became very angry and immediately cursed him to become a crocodile. King Vibhu was very sorry when cursed in this way and begged pardon from the sage, who was compassionate and gave him the benediction that he would be freed when Gajendra was delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the crocodile was delivered when killed by Narayana. When Gajendra, by the mercy of the Lord, became one of the Lord's associates in Vaikuntha, he got four hands. This achievement is called Swarupya Mukti. Liberation is receiving the spiritual body exactly like that of Narayana. Gajendra, in his previous birth, had been a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. His name was Indradyumna, and he was the king of? Pardon? Can't hear you. No, not the king of elephants. In his previous birth, he was Indradyumna. And why are we reading about this pastime? He was king of this area. So they're worshiping, there's a whole temple and a whole culture of worship going on for this elephant in his previous birth. He was King Indradyumna. And because he was ultimately a great devotee, and because his devotional activities in this life led to the next life, led to his liberation. Therefore, I find that part cool. That's really wonderful that devotees appreciate it, and the culture is such that they have that facility there. Following the Vedic principles, the king retired from family life and constructed a small cottage in the Malayachala hills, where he was also worshipped, where he always worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Agastya Rishi, along with many disciples, once approached King Indradyumna's ashram, but because the king was meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not receive Agastya Muni properly. Thus, the Rishi became very angry and cursed the king to become a dull elephant. In accordance with this curse, the king was born as an elephant, and he forgot all about his previous activities in devotional service. Nonetheless, in his birth as an elephant, when he was dangerously attacked by the crocodile, he remembered his past life in devotional service, and remembered a prayer that he had learned in that life. Another point in the purport that Prabhupada makes is that not only should we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but devotees should learn some mantras, learn some prayers, offer those prayers daily. Why? It's rather obvious that if we imbibe that and do that prayer sincerely and attentively, it will be imbibed in our consciousness. And who knows when we may need that or when it will be appreciated. Nonetheless, in his birth as an elephant, when he was dangerously attacked by the crocodile, he remembered his past life in devotional service and remembered a prayer that he had learned in his last life. Because of this prayer, he again received the mercy of the Lord and thus was immediately delivered, and he became one of the Lord's four-handed associates. And now, for the benediction you all receive for sitting through this. At the end of the Lila, my dear King Parikit, I have now described the wonderful power of Krishna as displayed when the Lord delivered the king of elephants, or best of the Kuru dynasty, the
Those who hear this narration become fit to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Simply because of hearing this narration, they gain a reputation as devotees. They are unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga, and they never see bad dreams. Therefore, after getting up from bed in the morning, those who desire their own welfare, especially Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, and in particular the Brahmin Vaishnavas, should chant this narration as it is without deviation to counteract the troubles of bad dreams. O best of the Kuru dynasty, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul of everyone, being thus pleased, addressed Gajendra in the presence of everyone there and spoke the following blessings. There's one more point that I gotta point out here. Oh, okay. When Gajendra was praying, he was praying specifically to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So none of the demigods felt compelled to help him because he wasn't praying to them. But when Hari came on Garuda to Gajendra, all the demigods saw the Lila and took part. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur describes that it's kind of a dichotomy because they didn't want to help the devotee because he was praying to the Supreme. Simultaneously, they were not offensive because they didn't accept his prayers, but at the same time, they were offensive because they didn't help him. So that was kind of interesting. So all the demigods are also here as Hari speaks this benediction. And it also reveals, for those of you who are attentive to meditative japa, like we're supposed to meditate on Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes on our online Bhagavatam and workshops and things like that. We're constantly trying to help devotees get a taste for chanting and meditating and actually entering into the world of transcendence while we chant by these kinds of meditations. Listen to what he describes, how to meditate, how detailed it is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, freed from all sinful reactions are those who rise from bed at the end of night, early in the morning, and fully concentrate their minds with meditation upon my form, your form, this lake, this mountain, the caves, the gardens, the cane plants, the bamboo plants, the celestial trees, the residential quarters of me, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, the three peaks of the Trikuta mountain made of gold, silver, and iron, my very pleasing abode, the ocean of milk, the white island, Swetadweep, which is always brilliant with spiritual rays, my mark of Shuvats, the Kasturba gem, my Vajrayanti garland, my club, Kormadaki, my Sudarshan disc, the Panchajanya conch shell, because he's four-armed, my Bara Garuda, the king of birds, my bed, Seshanaga, my expansion energy, the goddess of fortune, Lord Brahma, Narayana, Lord Shiva, Prahlad, my incarnations like Matsyan, Kormo, and Raha, and unlimited all auspicious activities which yield piety to those who hear them. The sun, the moon, fire, the mantra Omkar, the absolute truth, the total material energy, cows and Brahmins, devotional service, the wives of Soma and Kasyapa, who are all daughters of King Daksha, the rivers Ganges, Saraswati, Manga, and Ramuna, the elephant Airavata, Jiva Maharaj, the seven rishis, and pious human beings. My dear devotees, unto those who rise from bed at the end of night and offer me the prayers offered by you, I give an eternal residence in the spiritual world at the end of their lives. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after giving this instruction, the Lord, whose name is Rishikesh, bugled with his Panchajanya conch shell, in this way pleasing all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma. Then he mounted the back of his carrier, Garuda, and departed. Hari Guru. To end, we'll have a nice little lecture clip of Srila Prabhupada explaining about this movement and his attitude toward all the devotees. Yes, sir.
Modi.
I'm not to learn any. Whatever you have got, in whatever position you are, you can serve Krishna. Not that you have to learn something first and then you can serve. No, the service itself is learning. The more you try to render service, the more you become advanced, how to become experienced servant. You don't require any extra intelligence. Otherwise, the example is Galaji Thapaya. The elephant, the king of the elephant, is a satisfied. He is an animal. He is not a Brahmin, he is not a Vedantist. He may be very big, happy animal, but after all, who's running? And I am the running. And I'm not in such thing. But I am as a man. So, how do you satisfy? But I am quite a man. That's to be sure. And I am as to be a man. So, that is it.
What do you mean, I'm lying? Why are you listening?
So, are there any questions or comments? Don Govinda Prabhu.
So, Maharaj Yudhoyama did not want to stop meditation, but yet it occurs.
Prabhupada says we should not stop.
Stop what?
The Indradhuma Maharaj, he did not stop his meditation to welcome and receive the august tradition. But yet he got deviated from for some time.
Yes, do you know another king that got cursed because he didn't receive a guest who came to him? Because there was a yogi who was in such deep meditation that when the king came to him, he didn't even offer water. Same story, do you know it? Yes, and that was Purikit. So it's described here also that King Indradhumna was so absorbed in his meditation, he didn't even know the king that Agastyamuni had come. And Agastyamuni became angry by providence. Also the description of Maharaj Purikit. Same thing, and it's also, there's so many layers and stories and feathering that you can go into in any pastime. That's why people go on pilgrimage, and when you go on pilgrimage, as we were talking about in the beginning, you become absorbed, and there are lessons to be learned. Another one of the lessons is that this king, when he was cursed, just like Maharaj Purikit, it's described that he saw this as providence, the way of the Supreme, and therefore accepted it. And we have the smallest inconvenience in the room. Become angry and disturbed. At least I do. But it's a lesson to show how, through processing, sometimes it takes a little process, to understand how this is Krishna. Does that answer what you were asking?
I was wondering what was the purpose of Agastya Rishi's visit.
It doesn't mention, as far as I remember.
Providence.
Providence, yes. Love of Krishna. Yeah. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Goes to Srila Prabhupada.